Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Herhold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, and I'd like to thank you for coming and welcome you on behalf of myself and the board to our January 2020 program. Our very special speakers for today are lay ecclesial ministers Patricia Botchman, Renee Barber, Logan Feldkamp, and Melissa Keegan. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. After the presentation, we'll have an opportunity to write down questions for our speakers, and then after the talk, we'll have a short announcement period to collect those cards, and then we'll have a question and answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce St. Vincent St. Mary Sr. Ryan Bronkowski, who will offer our opening prayer.
Good morning. Good morning. Today is a special day for the Marianist family. I'd like to share the prayer that was said over the PA at St. Vincent St. Mary this morning. Today we remember Blessed Adele de Batz de Tranquillion, who is the founder of the Marianist Sisters, the Daughters of Mary Immaculate. The Sisters are in ministry throughout the world. Let us remember the Marianist Sisters and all the members of the family of Mary in our prayers today. Let us pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, source of holiness, we thank you for filling the heart of your servant Adele with an ardent ministry spirit and deep love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. We thank you for the enthusiasm with which she spread the gospel and love for Christ and his mother, Mary. Lord, help us to follow her in being a sign of your love for all our brothers and sisters. May the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be glorified in all places through the Immaculate Virgin Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ryan. It's now my pleasure to introduce First Friday Club board member Catherine Teer, who will introduce our speakers.
Good afternoon. I'm going to have the pleasure of introducing Patricia Botchman. She is the Director of Lay Ecclesial Ministry Offices for the Diocese of Cleveland. She has a long history with the diocese. In 2006, she was certified through the certification process. She's a graduate of St. Mary Seminary and the Graduate School of Theology in 2008. She's also served as Youth and Young Adult Ministry Leader for Akron CYO and Community Services. She's been a Youth Minister and Pastoral Associate at Holy Martyrs Church, Director of Religious Education at St. Ambrose, and Pastoral Associate at St. Patrick's. Please help me welcome Patricia.
Somebody moved my, I hit a different progressive thing for the slideshow up here. It was like, no, it was, okay, but I hit
a clicker.
A slide advancer.
Yeah.
Huh. Who put the recorder here?
I did.
Okay, maybe somebody will sit there and advance my slides.
Wonder if it was here. Where would it have gone?
I know. It was right here.
Oh, yeah.
But, sorry. The changes in life that we have to adjust to, right? I've lost my clicker, so Steve will, you'll will coordinate this very well. Yes. Thank you for your warm welcome. It is a blessing to be here today with you. I serve as the director of the Lay Ecclesial Ministry Office, part of the Secretariat for Parish Life and Development for the Diocese of Cleveland. The mission of the Lay Ecclesial Ministry Office is to educate, form, and support lay ecclesial ministers in a variety of parish, diocesan, and social service ministerial settings, equipping candidates to share unique gifts and talents in service of the church. A few years ago, the office was called the Pastoral Ministry Office. Lay Ecclesial Ministry is a relatively newer name created by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to describe the ministry work of lay people who are trained, competent, and capable of formal service within the church, with some holding staff positions. Lay comes from laity, those within the church who are not ordained nor belong to a religious order. Ecclesial means of or relating to the church. Ministry refers to service following the mission of Christ in service to others to build up the kingdom of God in and through the church. The bishops of America created the name Lay Ecclesial Ministry to describe the ministerial reality that had grown and developed, especially following Vatican II in parishes. Accompanying candidates through the formation process, along with supporting those already certified, is the heart of the work of the Lay Ecclesial Ministry Office. Our form for service symbol has five components, which explain the heart of lay ecclesial ministry. At the center is a cross. The cross reminds us that we need to be centered on Christ with our mind and heart. Christ is the center of our lives. The book symbol represents the Word of God, sacred scripture. We learn about God, about how to live our lives following Jesus, and how to minister to others through sacred scripture. The flame represents the Holy Spirit, who calls us to ministry, blesses us with gifts and talents for the service of others, and provides wisdom and the strength to respond to the call. The Holy Spirit works in and through us. The water and candle symbol remind us of our baptism. Baptism is the first sacrament of initiation. Through baptism, we are brought into the body of Christ and also into official membership within the Catholic Church. Through our baptism, we are called to be Christ's disciples. As disciples, we learn about God and deepen our relationship with Christ. Each time we bless ourselves with holy water, we are reminded of our baptism and called to holiness, to love and serve God. One's call to ministry is rooted in baptism. The symbol with three persons reminds us that we find God in community with others, with other believers. Lay ecclesial ministers are formed for service with and among the community. The most important part of the lay ecclesial ministry symbol is the cross, because we center our lives on Christ and seek to be servant leaders. The call to lay ecclesial ministry is rooted in the sacrament of baptism, strengthened through confirmation and nourished through sharing Eucharist. In the early church, the call to serve the poor and the oppressed was the mission of Christ, which became the mission of the church. Ministry is the work of the church, distinguished from, but not necessarily exclusive of, acts of kindness and caring to build up the kingdom of God, which is the message of the gospel. Ministry serves to meet the needs of the church and reaches out into the entire world. Prior to Vatican II, laity were already involved in church ministries, such as Catholic Action and St. Vincent de Paul. In 1988, in Pope John Paul's apostolic exhortation on the vocation and the mission of the lay faithful in the church and in the world, he encouraged, "All lay people give a glad, generous, and prompt response to the impulse of the Holy Spirit and to the voice of Christ." Some laity are called through the community by the work of the Holy Spirit to a deeper level of service, a call accompanied by a willingness and a desire for strengthening their relationship with Christ, a call to seek additional knowledge and understanding of Catholic theology and traditions, and a call to enhance their administrative, ministerial, and pastoral skills. These are all signs that someone is being called to lay ecclesial ministry. Steve. Lay ecclesial ministry is characterized by authorization of the bishop to serve publicly in the local church. It's characterized by leadership in a particular area of ministry. It's characterized by close mutual collaboration with the pastoral ministry of bishops, priests, and deacons. And it's characterized by preparation and formation appropriate to the level of responsibilities that are assigned to them. Lay ecclesial ministers often serve as parish catechetical leaders, directors of religious education, youth ministers, pastoral ministers and pastoral associates, parish volunteers in specific ministries, such as ministry to the sick and homebound, liturgical minister, RCIA director, jail ministry, social justice ministry. Lay ecclesial ministers share the gifts bestowed by the Holy Spirit in a wide variety of ministerial settings and serve with love and care to meet the needs of the people within our diocesan community. While the baptized are called to Christ's mission, some are called to lay ecclesial ministry, a relatively new recognized area of work within the life of the church, introduced by the bishops of the Catholic Church in the United States in 2005. The United States Catholic Conference of Bishops approved and published Co-Workers in the Vineyard of the Lord, a resource for guiding the development of lay ecclesial ministry, which acknowledges and affirms the place of lay ecclesial ministers in the life and work of the church. This document provided greater clarity to the roles fulfilled by lay ecclesial ministers in the essential elements of formation for candidates, assisting in the development of a theology for lay ecclesial ministry. Lay ecclesial ministers are called to live a chaste moral life, following the church's moral and social justice teachings, calling for a life oriented towards care of those who are most vulnerable or needy. All humans are spiritual beings with a human aspect. Formation for ministry brings together who we are with what we do, emphasizing the connection between what the ministry needs to do to promote the reign of God and the personal strengths in order to pursue it. Intellectual formation, academic study in theology, provides language, theological concepts, understanding, and reason, incorporating historical and developmental perspectives and knowledge from liberal arts and sciences into the dialogue of theological reflection, seeing how God works in our lives. Christian anthropology is essential in the understanding of the human person and how faith, tradition, and experience interact in faith development. The study of Christology and about the Trinity provide language and perspectives to deepen awareness and understanding of God's presence in one's life. The systematic study of ecclesiology and current moral issues offer perspectives on the Christian community and living a virtuous life. Pastoral formation brings the learning experiences, skills, and knowledge to develop care and compassion throughout ministry. All four components of formation are needed and need to be integrated. Formation includes ongoing discernment of one's call to ministry. Thorough understanding of the sacraments assists in the formation and equips the lay ecclesial minister for spiritual growth, as well as for parish ministries, such as sacramental preparation for children and RCIA. Formation includes discernment of the call and develops virtuous, lifelong habits to deepen one's relationship with Christ and to serve as a servant leader, forming competent, capable lay ecclesial ministers. Here in the Cleveland Diocese, the Center for Pastoral Leadership in Wycliffe is home to four ministerial formation programs: Borromeo Seminary, the Diaconate Formation Office, the Lay Ecclesial Ministry Office, and St. Mary's Seminary and Graduate School of Theology. This is a summary of the components of formation through the diocesan certification process. Applicants to the process need to be grounded in the sacramental life of the Church, with at least weekly Mass participation, reception of Eucharist, and regular celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, a regular habit of daily prayer, participation in retreats, and an openness to spiritual direction are essential in the formation. The application process is involved. School transcripts, sacramental records, and references must be provided. A pastor's reference and recommendation is required. Applicants undergo psychological testing and are interviewed by the Lay Ecclesial Ministry Advisory Board. Thorough background checks and ongoing screening associated with the virtus requirements for the protection of children are all part of the formation process. Applicants write a vision of ministry and their faith life autobiography. Candidates are required to complete 10 theological courses at local academic institutions or through online coursework. A degree is not required, though many candidates do work towards a degree in theology. Monthly formation sessions, one Friday evening and one Saturday morning, are required over a three-year period. Cohorts from each year group, discuss ministry topics and form networking and support groups, sharing theological reflections and the joys and challenges of life and ministry. Four mentoring experiences for a total of 120 hours with different ministries such as catechesis of children, adult faith formation, youth and young adult ministry, liturgical sacramental ministry, social justice and action ministries, pastoral care are also part of the formation process. One field experience project, including 48 to 60 contact hours, enhancing an existing ministry or creating a new ministry, is the culmination of the formation process. Copies of this summary diagram are available in the information folders that are on the tables as you leave today. The folder includes more specific information about the process. The certification process is comprehensive and generally takes 3 to 5 years for completion. I've shared about the background, development, and formation for lay ecclesial ministry. The best way to learn more about lay ecclesial ministry is to hear some stories. Today we are blessed with three faith-filled people, two certified lay ecclesial ministers, and a candidate in formation. I invite now Renee Barber, pastoral associate at St. Robert's and William Parish in Euclid, to share her story of lay ecclesial ministry.
Good afternoon. So I understand I have 10 minutes to tell you how you go from dental hygiene to pastoral ministry. All right, so here I go. This is going to include some confession time, too, because I need to tell you that for a long time I was away from the church. And if anybody would have said to me that at one day I would be standing up here talking to you about being a lay ecclesial minister, I would have said, no way. So I did eventually make my way back, and I landed at St. Ignatius of Antioch Church on the near west side of Cleveland. And it wasn't long before I started receiving invitations to do this and do that, and I became a lector. And then I was asked to be on the RCIA team, and I did that. And I realized I was getting very energized by all of this. I loved it. I loved what I was doing. And after a while, I started getting promptings from people. Some of the people on the staff and some of the parishioners were saying things to me like, did you ever consider doing this full time?
And, of course, I was working as a hygienist at the time, and I said, no, you know, that's just not me. And I also need to point out that at this time in my life, I really thought I was in charge of everything, okay? I didn't realize that God was probably working here. So I did look into the pastoral ministry program. And I went to an information night and found out about the classes involved and the money involved and everything. And I thought, yeah, no, you know what? I'm doing this already. And I could probably get a position working in a parish through the back door. You know, I probably don't have to do this. So I forgot about it. And I went back to doing what I was doing. So 5 more years went by. And during those 5 years, I did a few things at the parish that made me realize that I didn't know what I didn't know. All right? So, and I realized God's voice was getting louder. Now I realized it wasn't just about me. So I went back to another information night. And I was accepted into the program, and I was certified through the diocese in 1999. I went on a couple of interviews, and I ended up at St. Anne Church in Cleveland Heights. Father Jim Singler was the pastor at the time, and I was really praying that God was speaking to him too, so that he would take me on, and he did, and I received my first professional ministry position at St. Anne. I want to tell you why this program is absolutely invaluable. St. Anne was a one-priest parish at the time. Father Jim was there by himself. And when I was working as a volunteer at St. Ignatius, I was doing one or two things and doing them pretty well. But when I got that position at St. Anne, what happened to me was I became an RCIA director. I ran bereavement support groups. I did sacramental preparation, adult education, worship experience, hospital visits, journeyed with the dying, prayed with their families. I conducted funeral services and so many other things. I would not have been able to do any of those things if it had not been for the training I received through the lay ecclesial ministry office. None of it would have been possible, and I can't stress that enough. You know, when I noticed a shift, one of the things that lay people working for the church, one of the things that unnerves you when you're working is when you show up for a meeting and instead of saying hello to you, the people say, when is Father getting here? You hear that a lot. Isn't Father coming tonight? Who's going to be doing this? I noticed a shift. I noticed an acceptance, and actually once in a while a request for my presence, and it was so humbling. It reminded me of a conversation I was involved in one time. I don't remember who the priest was, but there was a priest there. And somebody said to him, Father, what do you like the most about being a priest? And he said to them, you know, it invites you into people's lives at their happiest, best moments and at their absolute lowest. And both of them are a privilege. And I can say that that is absolutely true for lay ecclesial ministry as well. And it made me even more appreciative of the formation through the program and my experiences in parish work. So my journey continued. I know you're all familiar with the mergers that happened some years ago. St. Anne became Communion of Saints Parish with St. Louis and Christ the King and St. Philomena Church in East Cleveland. And I stayed for 3 years after it became Communion of Saints, and then I decided maybe it was time for a change. So I found out that St. Robert and William Parish in Euclid was looking for a pastoral associate, and I went to speak to the pastor, and that was 6.5 years ago. Earlier I mentioned that it took a while for me to realize that God had something to do with this. For a time, I want to tell you, I felt even guilty. When I would talk to other people who were in the program and they would tell their stories about how they ended up there, and because I didn't have this lofty story, I actually felt like, in a way, I was doing it for me. I loved what I was doing. I was all energized by it. But again, Today I realize that God brought me there, and not just because of what I could do, but because I needed it. My life is totally different. I am a different person now that I have been through that process and working for the church. So, just one other thing I want to leave you with. Years ago, when I was growing up in the church, there was a scripture passage that used to drive me crazy. It was from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and it read, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different works, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone." And as a young person growing up in the church, I didn't see that. I didn't see it in everyone. I saw people who were working for the church were priests or sisters. They were doing all the work, okay? I never could have imagined the church as it's unfolding today. Lay people do have opportunities. We need to. As Patty said, we are all baptized. We have responsibility. And we have a marvelous program in the diocese that allows us to step up and take our place as baptized people working in the church. So I'm grateful to the program that helped to prepare me for this journey. I look forward to several more years. I came in kind of late. Several more years before I retire, but I love what I do. I'm grateful to the program, and I'm grateful to all of you for having me here today. Thank you.
I'm a tall guy. I don't think this will go high enough for me. Renee, I don't know how I'm supposed to top that. That was awesome. Very, very well told. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Logan Feldkamp. I am not one of the high school students here. I am a graduate of Ursuline College's undergraduate in religious studies. I am currently in their Masters of Theology program. I am a first-year formation candidate in the lay ecclesial ministry program, and I serve as the pastoral minister at St. Christopher Parish in Rocky River. Oh, not bad. Okay. So my story really begins with my father, who was a part of a very Catholic family, grew up Catholic, went to Lake Catholic High School in Mentor. And he really instilled those Catholic values into his two kids, which I am one of. And so I grew up going to Mass every Sunday. I was like the really cool kid who would always dress up in his little suit and bow tie, and Dad and I would dress up and look better than everybody else in the church. I made my first communion. I got confirmed, went to PSRO throughout elementary school. I loved going to church so much that I got a little Roman missal for my first communion that had the order of the Mass in it. And if we had a baseball game or something going on Sunday and we couldn't make it to Mass, I would dress up as priest and my little brother would dress up as deacon, and we'd take a slice of Wonder Bread and a little bit of grape juice or apple juice if we were out of grape juice, and we would play Mass in my family room. We would sing, we would do the prayers, we'd do the whole nine yards. We even had chasubles made from fabric at Joey and Fabrics. So, I was always adoring what was going on in my church. And so when I finally got old enough to participate in ministry in fifth grade, that was when you could become an altar server, and so I was a bit nervous. So my dad and I made a bet. I said, "Dad, I'll become an altar server if you become a reader." And he said, "Okay." So Dad went and got trained as a reader, and I got trained as an altar server. And that was the best bet I ever made, because we both ended up coming out winners on the other end of that. And so Dad loved being a reader so much that he became a Eucharistic minister. I enjoyed altar serving so much that I began serving as a teenage aide in our PSR program. And life was good. I was really enjoying my role as a middle schooler at my parish. When I was in 10th grade and still enjoying all of these ministries that I was a part of, I was downstairs in the basement playing video games one Sunday morning. And like every 10th grader who has ever played video games on a Sunday morning, I was crossing my fingers hoping that we were not going to go to Mass that morning. Because I was really into my game, and I wanted to play football with my buddies later, and they were coming over. So I was really hoping that that we were not going to go to Mass. So Mass started at 10 o'clock. It was 9:45. Nobody came down to pull me off the video game yet. It was 9:50. Nobody had pulled me off the video game yet. We're looking good. And about 9:52, Mom comes downstairs and says, "We're not going to Mass. Dad doesn't feel good today." I was on top of the world, man. So I continued to play my video game for about a half an hour until Mom came downstairs again and told me, "Dad's really not feeling good. We're going to have to take Dad to the hospital. He has really bad headaches." And I was like, "Oh, Dad really doesn't feel good. Okay." So I carried on with my day as usual. Mom and Dad went to the hospital. My buddies came over and played football, and I won. And Mom came home a couple hours after that and informed us that Dad had to be life-flighted from the local hospital to Cleveland Clinic downtown for neurological treatment, at which point I said, "Okay, I think I should go to the hospital." And to make a long story short, we got to the hospital and found out Dad had had a brain aneurysm, and we were told that he was going to have some short-term memory loss and would need 2 to 3 weeks to recover. At which point I looked to my mother and I said, "I have no idea how you expect to survive for 2 to 3 weeks without Dad." So life went on as usual, and the next day we received a call in the evening that my father's condition had worsened when we expected him to remain stable. My father's condition continued to deteriorate to the point where his brain bleeding had become so bad that he was going to be confined to a vegetable state. I was 15 at the time, and my brother was 12. At that point, we felt that it was best to take my dad off of life support, and my dad passed away in 2015. That was when things really shook up the lives of my immediate family. My mother had not been raised in the Catholic tradition, and my brother was never very fond of attending Mass, and so they pretty much stopped attending Mass after the death of my father. I, however, could not do that because I had felt such a great commitment to my parish family. The Father's Day after he passed away, I remember sitting in the back of the church crying during Mass because nobody had come to Mass with me, which we'd always started off Father's Day with Mass. I missed my father's presence so much, I went and became a lector in his place. I started reading within months after his passing. As soon as I was a senior in high school, I became a Eucharistic minister. I also started teaching PSR that same year. And so I really just embraced my Catholic community, which had surrounded me with nothing but love during this time, as I watched the rest of my family struggle to find somebody to reach out to. And so I really only flourished from there, and like every other boy who's very involved in his parish and is a senior in high school, the parish priest came up to me and said, "Logan, have you ever thought about going to the seminary?" "Not really, Father Tim. I really hadn't thought about it. But, you know, I'll give it a shot because I kind of do like working here and doing things here. And, you know, I enjoyed it." So I started inquiring at the seminary. I was accepted. I went through all of their required programming. I applied to John Carroll University. And they sent me my financial aid package, which told me that I'd be paying $15,000 out of pocket every year for school. And if you know anything about the seminary, they don't let you work there. So I was going to be a very poor man after that 4 years. So instead, I decided to go to Ursuline College and take care of my undergraduate at a much cheaper rate, which ended up being one of God's funny ways of working quite well. And so I was one of two religious studies majors at Ursuline College during my time, and one of very few men on the campus, so I stuck out like a bit of a sore thumb. But it was great. I got to learn under some of the best scripture teachers in the area, and I received a very good education there. And so upon my graduation in May, I thought of whether or not I wanted to go back to the seminary or whether or not I wanted to pursue lay ministry. And so I ultimately decided that lay ministry was my avenue to pursue my ministerial career simply because I enjoy the concept of working outside of the box. That was something that Ursuline's education really, really instilled in me. And so I enjoyed finding new undiscovered routes to thinking about theology that you might not necessarily encounter at the seminary. And so Upon my graduation, I started looking for jobs, and I was lucky enough to find St. Christopher in Rocky River, who then told me, you must go and become certified because Patty Batchman is wonderful and will make you a wonderful lay ecclesial minister. And so I said, okay, Mr. Pastor. So I went and became, I went and entered into the lay ecclesial certification program. And so I am only half a year in, but I'm enjoying both learning with the people around me and also doing some teaching. And so everybody in our group kind of serves as teacher for one another and learner for one another. And so it works out quite well. Just in closing, what the lay ministry lifestyle means to me, I think our greatest tool as lay ecclesial ministers and those in formation is the fact that we have a lot of relatability with the common churchgoer. I resonated a lot with what Renee said when people were waiting for Father to arrive, because that's how it always was in my parish. But I'm realizing now that we as lay ministers have the ability to talk with other people about married life, about struggles with our kids, things that priests might have difficulty resonating with, just simply based out of their lifestyle. And not to say that priests cannot do that job, but many of us have lived that experience. I'm getting to the point where I'm hoping to live that experience. So I think that's the greatest tool of the lay ecclesial minister, is the ability to relate to other people in the church, to feel their struggles on a more intimate level, and to spend time getting to know them on a more personal basis. So thank you very much.
You can see from my picture there on the bottom, I've gotten a lot younger since that picture was taken. My name is Melissa Keegan, and I serve as the pastoral associate at Immaculate Conception of Akron Parish in the Kenmore neighborhood of Akron. To date, I've been involved with ministry for 39 years, 2 helping at St. Barnabas, and 37 at Immaculate Conception. 18 of those years were as a non-certified but on staff person, and 19 as a certified lay ecclesial minister. I grew up in a home with a Catholic father and a Presbyterian mother, but Mom always supported us in our Catholic faith and made sure that my sister and I got to Mass and to what was then CCD, now PSR classes. I remember with fondness my dad kneeling next to his bed, saying his prayers and praying the rosary. I loved everything about the church, even at a young age, the smells, bells, ritual, and beauty of the faith. My faith journey actually began with baptism at Holy Family Parish in Parma, then went to St. Basil in Brecksville in second grade. We didn't have a school building yet, so I made my first communion at St. Michael's in Independence. Confirmation was celebrated at St. Basil in the fourth grade. As I grew in faith, I wanted to become more involved in the church. And so I did things like follow my dad around on Catholic Charities calls and sing loudly from the first pew as he lectured and had to lead singing, which was not really his forte, but, you know. And then I also took on the responsibility of setting the contemporary Mass up in the hall. I would go over to church, get everything we needed for Mass, take it over to the hall, set it up. So my desire and my love for the liturgy was planted early. I went to college at Ohio Wesleyan and was very involved in the local parish. I even had the opportunity and the honor of sponsoring and being godparent for some of the students who wanted to be baptized in the faith. After college, I returned home and began work on my master's and became a member of St. Barnabas Parish, where I lectured, taught PSR, was a sacristan, did some maintenance stuff here and there, taught in the school. But it just wasn't enough. There was something missing. Something was still empty. I felt a call deep within to serve the church in a more profound and a more official capacity. So while I was at St. Barnabas, I heard about lay ecclesial ministry, and I was intrigued. The priest that I talked to about that was made pastor of Immaculate Conception, and so the opportunity for me to become familiar with church ministry and work in the church kind of opened up. So as my parents began the process of moving to North Carolina, I moved to Akron in 1982 to see what pastoral ministry was all about. And I haven't looked back. But I will admit to you, there are days, and there have been days, And on those days, North Carolina really looked pretty good. Hopefully, I'll get there someday. Arriving in Akron, I hit the ground running, and I got a taste of parish life. And it was a great foundation for what I hoped would be my future. And after several years there, I had the desire and I felt I was ready to enter the lay ecclesial ministry process. But I was told it would never happen to me in that parish because I was task-oriented rather than people-oriented. And it did not happen until, fast forward, a new pastor arrived who said the words I've been longing to hear. I want you certified. I applied, was accepted, and began the process in 1996. Because of my master's in education, I was able to take master-level classes at St. Mary's Seminary, alongside with the men being educated and formed for the priesthood, which I found most interesting and most rewarding. My only regret was that I could not afford the cost of the tuition, so I paid only to audit the classes needed. Knowing that I could do the work, I did all the reflection papers, I did the research papers, I took all the exams, I got all A's and B's. What I did not receive was a degree. So I'm very grateful to Patty for instituting the Lay Ecclesial Ministry Benefit Dinner and other activities that support the scholarships, education, and formation for those coming into the program that may be financially strapped as I was. Now, along with the classroom work, as was said already, we went through a 3-year formation process, which for me was very helpful. We prayed and learned and rejoiced and mourned as we lost one of our classmates and grew together and found out that God actually can and does use people according to their gifts and talents and charisms. And that was really important for me because I was told I'd never be able to do this. And so I was like, yes, God, all right, perfect, okay. So I'm very grateful to everybody that was involved in that process, the directors and the staff and the other lay ecclesial ministers. And in December of 2000, the dream that began in 1982 was finally realized as I was certified by Bishop Pilla with ceremonies supplied in January of 2001. Now, by definition, a pastoral minister specializes in a specific area of ministry, such as a director of religious education. As a pastoral associate, I do not have a specialty, but am responsible for many, many, many areas of ministry and administration, including things like adult faith formation, liturgy, social justice work, ecumenical ministry preparations and partnerships, RCAA, scheduling, training, teaching, visiting hospital people in the hospital, planning funerals with families and praying with them, and occasionally doing funeral services and graveside services, which, again, could not have done without this training that I've had. In my spare time, I share my stewardship to play the guitar and lead the contemporary choir, serve Mass, which I could never do as a child, and even do maintenance when necessary. And my broken finger from shoveling snow and falling last year is proof of that. So if you're going to be in ministry, you got to be ready to give it all. I enjoy very much my parish's ecumenical partnership with the United Methodist Neighbors that we have. And together we form 3 ministries which help those in need: the Kenmore Free Store, Community Meal, and the Community Garden. I've made some great friends and enjoy working side by side with God's people from different backgrounds and different traditions. And so while we're doing that, we're able to witness to gospel values in a neighborhood of Kenmore. If you know Kenmore, it's a neighborhood that is very badly in need of gospel and of Christ. Watching them in the RCAA is another thing that I enjoy very much, and watching them grow spiritually and make connections and learn, and then witnessing to their baptism and their confirmation and their first communion is something that's very, very gratifying to me as we bring new people into the church. Now, there's a famous book that's entitled Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. You probably are familiar with that book. The lay ecclesial ministry process has allowed me to go places I never thought I would go. I represented South Summit District throughout the entire vibrant parish life process, and working closely with the then pastoral planning office, helped write some of the materials that were used by the parishes. I served as a member of the Lay Ecclesial Ministry Board. I don't know if you knew that, but I did. As a South Summit District Representative, and I'm currently the North-South Summit District Representative as we meet with Bishop Perez. I train new extraordinary ministers for the Office for Worship for the diocese. I work closely with the offices of evangelization and stewardship, and I am a facilitator for the Diocesan Joyfully Gifted Retreats. God has called this task-oriented woman to professional ministry, and the Spirit has led me to places far beyond anything imaginable. I am so grateful to God, my parents, and all who have encouraged me and have been spiritual influences in my life, especially for my pastor father, Michael B. Smith. Raise your hand. There he is. And to all in the process who have helped make my dream a reality, I encourage all of you to support the certified lay ecclesial ministers in your parishes, as well as those who have the fire within to serve the church in this capacity. We have many young people here, and I hope that you would consider ministry in the church as a certified lay ecclesial minister as you look down the road. And I hope that I will see you all on May 1st at the Center for Pastoral Leadership for our benefit dinner. Thank you.
Thank you so much, folks. I think we learned lots, and we see your fervor and your spirit, and it stays strong. We're going to be collecting, the volunteers are going to be coming around to collect any questions, so if you have some, please hold them up, and our board members will pick them up. Our next First Friday will be here at Tangier on Friday, February 7th, with a presentation by Jeff Campbell, who is director of the Catholic Commission of Summit County. His presentation is entitled, Encountering Christ, Healing Creation, How Parishes, Schools, and Families Can Embrace the Heart of the Vision of Pope Francis in Laudato Si Encyclical. If you're listening to this podcast on our website, we invite you to join us here in person. You can send a check with $20 for First Friday Club to 795 Russell Avenue, Akron 44307. You can call our phone number 330-535-7668 each month or online at using the Eventbrite site. If you sign up on a monthly basis, let us know by the Tuesday before the Friday talk. Please consider a six-month package, a multiple subscription, and you can pick and choose the dates you'd like to attend, and the price is reduced somewhat. Our 2020 speakers are in place, and we have a variety of interesting speakers, including Bishop Perez, Sister Toni Palermo, who is a sister, a doctor, and was a World War II player on the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. You recall that's League of Their Own? So that should be a really good one, as well as our perennial favorite, John Allen. Yearly subscription is still available now, too. If you're not on our mailing list, please fill out your email for us and give it to one of us or the board members so that we can get you on our email. Now I'd like to recognize our students. We have students here from St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit. Please stand. I'd also like to recognize any first-time attendees. If this is your first time at the First Friday Club, please raise your hand. And please come back. I'd also like to recognize members of the board of First Friday Club. Please raise your hand, board members. Now, if our speakers could come back up, please take a hot seat. And our vice president and program chairman, Deacon William Yoho, will come up and give you the questions. We're going to hand you the microphone, and that way you can just pass it down and you can stay seated and you won't have to keep jumping up and down.
What do you feel about only men being priests?
Pardon? I just said you don't need two bodies.
Great. It's the tradition in our church, and I trust the work of the Holy Spirit. This is where we're at. God knows better than we do.
I'm sitting here as a lay ecclesial minister because I can't be a priest. But I do. The Spirit will lead the church in the direction that it wants the church to go, and the church has always been obedient to that, and we will continue to do that. Any thoughts?
Can you repeat the question, please?
You don't all have to answer.
The question is, how do you feel about only men being priests?
I think the fact that there's one man up here might be a good answer to that question. I think there's a distinct role in the church for non-clergy to operate. I think there, as I mentioned in part of sharing my story, is that we possess a certain amount of relatability for the typical lay person. And so I think that's an important distinction as to why we have male clergy and we have the role of lay ecclesial minister for our women to serve in. So I think there is an important distinction between both roles that exists.
What is the difference between lay ecclesial ministers and deacons?
Deacons are clergy. They have been ordained. Their ministerial call begins with baptism, but then it comes to fulfillment through ordination, similar to priesthood. Lay ecclesial ministry, our call and our ministry flow from baptism. Deacons are clergy along with priests.
They don't do anything.
I resemble that.
Yeah. I said it for you.
Would it be good to encourage within the parishes to sponsor the local folks that go to the lay ecclesial minister program?
That would be an exceptional blessing. As Melissa shared, she could not go through the process and receive a degree because of the tuition. Okay, I'm pleased to share with you, along with Logan, in our first year cohort, we have 8 other participants. And I'm just interviewing one gal right now. She's down from St. Peter's Parish in Loudonsville. Father Vince Hawk just wrote her reference letter for her application, and he's committing $1,500 a year towards her tuition. You know, lay ecclesia ministers, as we are, as candidates, as they go through formation, we are responsible for all financial costs and such. As Melissa referred to, we have a benefit dinner. We're trying to raise money so that we can help support people in the process. But it's just like going to college. You come out with a student loan. But yes, so just any sort of help that the parishes could provide would be so awesome for people.
Right. Can I say something to that as well?
As someone who's in the program, I've been lucky enough to be sponsored by a parish who takes that burden upon themselves. My parish has been very generous with supporting me in financially as I go through the program. And so I would encourage all of you to reach out to your parish leaders and encourage them to not only, one, seek candidates from your parish who might fit into our program, but also to donate funds to support people from your parish or even people who aren't from your parish in pursuing their certification.
That's all our questions.
Okay, thank you.
Good job.
Two slides. Two slides forward. Yeah. Next one. In closing, I would just want to pose a question to you today. How is God calling you to share your gifts and talents? Pope Francis' Joy of the Gospel begins with, "The joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. Those who accept his offer of salvation are set free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. With Christ, joy is constantly born anew." Live out your call to holiness. Today, Catholics are called to missionary discipleship, reaching out to those on the margins of society, those estranged from the church, and those, though connected to the church, are in need of re-evangelization, reconnection, to offer renewed passion to follow Christ. Lay Ecclesial Ministry formation serves to equip candidates for missionary discipleship to meet the needs of the church in today's culture. Be attentive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and seek to listen to God's call. In the Our Father we pray, "Thy will be done." If you know someone who has the gifts and talents for a specific ministry, help them name and claim those gifts and how they could serve in the church. I would be glad to talk with you and answer your questions. My cards are on the table if you would like more information or for you to pass along to someone else. We have the information folders as you leave, and I thank our panelists, and I thank you for being here today. And please, my last request is in your prayers, please lift up all lay ecclesial ministers, deacons, priests, and bishops, and our Pope. Pray for all those who will be called in the future to serve in the church too. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Now it's my pleasure to introduce Walsh Jesuit High School Junior Sydney Katona, who will offer our closing prayer.
So the prayer I was given is actually typically sung, so I thought I would sing it for you guys, and if you know, you can just sing with me. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul.
Thank you.
Amen.
Singing is praying twice. Good thing. I want to thank everyone for coming. There's a bunch of extra desserts on the tables, especially young folks. Make sure you grab some to go. There's a couple empty tables with untouched ones, so go for it. We want to thank all of you for coming. We hope we will see many of you next month on February 7th. Safe travels.